This is your KVNF Regional Newscast for Wednesday, August 5th. I'm Audra McCabe. 300 cyclists are set to tour south-central Colorado roadways from August 10th through August 14th as part of the Colorado's Ride event. The week-long bicycle tour is scheduled to take place between Crested Butte, Buena Vista, Salida, and Gunnison. Approximately 300 cyclists will participate in the event, which will take place on highways and several county roads. Highways won't be closed, so motorists will be sharing the road with the cyclists. The Colorado Department of Transportation is reminding motorists to be prepared and to share the road. You can find a map and a schedule of the tour on coloradosride.com or on codot.gov. At Monday's work session, the Montrose City Council agreed to advance several charter amendments to the November ballot. One of the amendments, which received significant public comment, would require the approval of City Council in the appointment and removal of the police chief and city clerk. That responsibility currently falls solely under the city manager. At the beginning of the discussion, Mayor Badiyako clarified the motivation behind the proposed amendment.
This was never an intent to have the council be the sole
being able to
authority
hire
over
fire.
To hire and fire. It was all an attempt in order to make sure that we as council and city manager work together to make sure that neither side was able to do that. And I think that again, I did not communicate that well. And my apologies to the public, my apologies to our city manager, and our police chief.
Councilmember J. David Reed says he strongly opposes the change, but since he believed it would end up on the ballot, he drafted language that he felt would be the least harmful while still meeting the desires of the council members who support the measure. During public comment, residents largely derided the proposed change. Here's resident Bill Patterson with an interjection from Mayor Badiyako.
Now, I will say that while I was on city council, we did have one time where we were under that the police chief would be hired by the city manager with the advice and counsel, not removal, but hired. And out of that, we ended up talking to the city manager about not hiring two people. And we ended up going back to the drawing board, and out of that came Chief Meacham. So from that standpoint, looking to the council for advice, I think is good, but that's already under your current charter. Why are we changing it?
It's currently not there.
It is because you have a city manager that you hire or fire. All of the people under the city manager, if he doesn't do his job, you fire them. I've done this with many, DMEA, the county, the city.
The measure ultimately passed 3-2, with Frank and Reed dissenting, and will appear on the November ballot. On Colorado's western slope, the arrival of Olathe sweet corn has always felt like a promise of summer, of abundance, and of a valley that knows how to grow something special. But this year, that promise has been tested. Drought, monsoons, rising costs, and stubborn pests have all converged, leaving farmers to wonder what the future of sweet corn might look like. For KVNF, reporter Lisa Young spoke with one Western Slope producer on this year's challenges and the uncertain future for sweet corn growers.
At Mountain Quality Farms, owner Reed Fishering has lived that uncertainty day by day. His operation is more than a business. It's a collaboration of 9 farming families who've grown sweet corn for decades. But this season began with a warning that changed everything.
Yeah, we were cut off, you know, at the very beginning. But, you know, the water users they were very forthright in telling us, like, don't expect anything more than 50%, even at the beginning, which has never happened before. Usually there's, you know, it's an on-demand at the very beginning of the season just to get the system up and running. And they told us, nope, it's going to be 50% at the beginning, and we're not sure if we're going to make it to September 1st. So that kind of limited us and how much we could plant at the beginning, but then also it's a hard stop because I don't want to go into September with corn. In the past, when we used to have corn, grow corn, I didn't want to have something that I wasn't sure I could get water to.
In the past years, they've planted nearly 1,200 acres. This year, they planted around 600, a reduction driven almost entirely by the drought. With less water available, irrigation slowed dramatically. A 30-acre field that once took 4 days to water now takes 14. That means more labor and more fuel burned between jumping from field to field. Fishring says the drought hit hardest in March, when growers had to decide what they could afford to plant and what they couldn't.
And so it was a very hard decision, I think, for a lot of the guys. But, you know, by the end of March, everyone had kind of given me an idea of, read, this is how much land I'm willing to, you know, allocate towards sweet corn. So really, that's when the drought affected us. Since then, you know, with us using our 50%, I think, you know, farmers can be very prudent when needed, and I think we're seeing that.
But then something unexpected happened. After months of dryness, the monsoon season arrived. Humidity and steady rain swept across the valley, and the corn responded almost instantly.
You know, it goes back to when you get the water to the plant, at what stage, and it just seems to have come at the right time for us to have, you know, this bountiful crop this year.
But the monsoons brought their own complications. Instead of ripening in staggered waves, the corn has come in all at once, and that means that Mountain Quality Farms has to move very quickly to get the harvest in.
You know, you come into a season, you expect to, you're going to do this much this given day, and I can prorate that out for the rest of the season. This is how much I'm going to be able to harvest each and every day. Well, when the monsoon or this humidity brings on the corn all at once, I have, you know, five fields that are ready all at the same time, and I don't have the crew to handle more than maybe two of the five fields at a given time. And so it's been daunting. We've put in the longest days I've ever. I mean, we get in here at, you know, we start harvesting at 3:30 in the morning, and then we're done packing around 9 o'clock at night.
And while the monsoons have helped the corn, they didn't solve everything. Corn earworm has been the valley's most persistent pest, cutting yields by about 30%. Researchers at Colorado State University continue studying whether warming temperatures are allowing certain insects to overwinter in the valley. But pests are only a part of the story. Sweet corn is more than a crop, it's an economic engine. Fishering calls it the linchpin of the farming community. There are 9 families involved in farming much of the valley's sweet corn acreage, and the industry supports equipment shops, pallet suppliers, trucking operations, and dozens of small wholesalers across the region, not to mention the larger grocery store chains in Colorado and beyond. Yet making a profit for sweet corn growers has been evasive. Inflation has compounded the strain. Diesel is now over $5 again. Input costs have climbed. Labor regulations have changed. And yet Fishering has kept his corn prices below the consumer price index since taking over the business, something he's proud of, but which comes at a cost. Many growers planted only 60% of their usual acreage this year, letting fields go fallow simply to survive.
We're doing all of this this year in hopes that we have next year, but there's a real possibility that this may not even exist next year if we don't get the snowpack. I mean, the monsoon's been great and all that, but if we don't get snowpack, I don't think that there'll be farming here next year if we don't get enough snowpack.
And looming over everything else is the Colorado River Compact.
I don't know how that gets resolved. That's above my pay grade, but I do at least feel like we have some good people in our corner, you know, fighting for us at the state level.
Despite the exhaustion, the breakdowns, the water cuts, and the economic uncertainty, Fishering remains committed to growing Olathe sweet corn.
I look at the 9 families, and I look at what it has meant for our community, and I don't, as daunting as it is, I don't want to go down without a fight, and that might be my stubbornness, it might be my, you know, competitiveness, but I can't see myself giving up on it.
For KVNF News, I'm Lisa Young.
That's your KVNF Regional Newscast. I'm Audra McCabe.